Hello and welcome to the Liberation Podcast, an exploration of what it means when we say our liberation is bound in each other. Through interviews and personal dialogue, we will dissect just how liberation is experienced by the individual and how in result manifests in their communities. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Liberation Podcast. My name is Safara Parrott. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a while, y'all. It's been a long while, right? I've been on hiatus for about 10 weeks now, almost 10 weeks. For those of you who don't know, I had a really urgent and horrifying scare with my dog. He went into sudden kidney failure. And spent about a week in the ICU. By some form of miracle, he is alive and with me now. He is alive and well, sitting on my bed, falling asleep as I lull him into sweet, sweet dreams while recording this. He is still has a terminal prognosis, but for all intents and purposes, he shouldn't have been here and he should not be on this earth still. But he is, and because of the suddenness of all of it, and also, again, if you know me personally and see me in my physical life, he goes everywhere with me. That's my best friend. He's my emotional support animal, and truly just a very, very strong and tight bond. And, you know, when your best friend is urgently sick, that is really hard to cope with and understand. But I got him home. And also thank you to each and every one of you who have sent me messages, and have that donated to his GoFundMe because that got fully funded. And, yeah, just a huge thank you to everyone who has already reached out and been so kind and patient, especially with the show. I know it's going to, and I hope so, but I know it so, that it'll be received really warm, and I know a lot of folks have been excited to get the ball back rolling, and I am now excited to get the ball rolling. Before I get into this little solo episode, I just want to go through, you know, you gotta do all the regular plugins, so please rate and subscribe and follow the podcast. It is really helpful for visibility for folks who would not usually be in the demographics that I speak to, or just in general don't have like an algorithm to show them great shows or whatever. Yeah, that would be very helpful, and also just helps me gauge how y'all are listening and how you connect to the show. So all of that would be great. And I have a Patreon now, and I've had it open for, I think, like 3 months now. So all of those tiers that are listed come with different kind of little incentives. You can get votes and send in questions for future guests. There are playlists. There are downloadable MP4s. So, you know, if you are able to financially back the show monthly, that is an option. Also, I have one-time payments for Venmo and PayPal, if that is also something that you are interested in doing. All of that is going to be linked in the show notes, so if you feel so obliged to do so, and I would much appreciate it. So, true to form with myself, I actually recorded this episode already last night, on the 7th, and then I went in to edit it this morning, and I was just like, blech, this was a lot of just stream of consciousness. So I am actually on my second run of recording this, and I wanted to approach this with a little bit more, I don't know, concise thought process. So I'm going to be speaking about, you know, the last 10 weeks, really, and how this theme of disappearance or vanishing and then the act of reappearing has kind of been a major theme in my mind lately, and just how it has been a framework of processing some pretty difficult emotions, both with, you know, my dog dying, but also some other things that have been living maybe in the undercurrents that I have not had the energy to address. And so what I'm going to be speaking about is somebody, myself, who comes from complex traumas and what it means to kind of evolve and change your needs, regardless of other needs being filled or not. And then also how difficult it is to hold two truths at the same time. I myself am really horrible at that. I have a really, really hard time holding multiple truths and being okay with it and accepting it. And so these are some major themes that I have been ruminating on over the last 10 weeks. And I think the lens and the position in which I am speaking to you all is less, and maybe not at all, as somebody who has reappeared from the darkness and has figured everything out and is like ready to show themselves into the world. It's less of that, and it's more of reporting from the inside and really being in between this vanishing and reappearing state, and being able to exist and stretch and know myself within that space for me is really important. And I think gets spoken about less and less as we kind of move into this culture that is very, all I can think is Instagram infographics, where it's just like, this is a definition of what trauma is, or literally anything that you do that's a negative action or negatively affects you is because of capital T trauma, where that word just kind of gets thrown around quite a bit. And in actuality, there's a difference between something just negatively affecting you and then something that actually is causing a trauma response. So, yeah, there's just wellness and mental health and whatever is getting very convoluted within social sharing circles and in social media. So I'm just doing some first-person reporting, you know, and I'm just speaking from where I'm at, which is a very in-betweeny and weird, and I don't know, it's a very odd space, but it's not unwelcoming, if that makes sense. So enough of me rambling, let me just kind of get on into it. So I think a really good opening question that helps guide this dialogue of mine or monologue of mine, it's a line taken from a poem by Dr. Gloria Joseph, and the line is literally just, where does the pain go when it goes away? And I think that's a really, I don't know, I read that, and I've read the poem a bunch of times, and it's also showcased in the beginning of Audre Lorde's essay, Eye to Eye, which is also just, I mean, I don't think there's any amount of times you could read that essay and really understand all of it because it's so powerful. But I think, where does my pain go when it goes away? Just really knocked me out when I read it. And especially in this time period where I am, especially in the beginning where, you know, vets and a lot of other people and just the things that I was reading was basically saying like, okay, you need to accept the fact that your dog's gonna die possibly in like 5 days. And again, when you're told that your best friend's gonna die and you have zero way to process it, you tend to, and especially those like myself who have experienced a lot of complex trauma in their life, your immediate response, and it's easy to do once if you are somebody who has experienced all that trauma, to flip off your feeling parts and just say, okay, and I can do this job and, you know, the emotional response will come later, or, you know, maybe I won't respond to it at any time, or maybe I won't deal with it or whatever. So, but there is at any point when you shut down, or at any point when there is something in your brain is triggered and says, okay, we have a job to do now. That question of where does my pain go when it goes away is just so important to ask yourself when you're regrounding and when you finally have the space to find yourself again. And that's kind of the space that I've been occupying for the last 10 weeks. So I got my dog home and I had zero energy to do any of the projects that I do on the side, outside of work, outside of, you know, organizing, outside of the podcast, outside of all the other things. Like, I had no energy. And the silver lining of this situation, not that there is a need to find a silver lining, but I was forcibly in a position where I had to rest, whether I liked it or not, and I had to sit very presently, because it wasn't a death sentence necessarily to bring him home. In fact, he got even better when I got him home, and it's very much a day-by-day observational position that you're in, and monitoring this living thing, a living thing that is also dying, and monitoring their health and monitoring your own health, and it called you to a very immediate, present observation. And that being in that space for about 10 weeks was so important, and I had no idea that I needed it. Like I said before, I think there's a lot of this isn't groundbreaking news, but social media is a garbage pile of cess and terrible things. And it's also great. It's great for definitions. It's great for finding ground information. But you don't understand how to emotionally apply things or how it presents to you in a present way without speaking to other people about it or without investigating for yourself. So when I was able to shut everything off, it was almost like I was walking backwards to pick up some pieces. And it took a couple of weeks to just sit and rest in general. And rest is, you know, rest is revolutionary and rest is resistance and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's true. But what is the action of resting? What does that mean for somebody? How long does that last for somebody? Because it's not just a bubble bath. It's not just a skincare routine. Like, rest is long. It takes a long time to rest and to get to a place where you aren't scared of yourself and you aren't scared to investigate yourself and ask yourself hard questions of, do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel that the actions in your life and your relationships to your work and your relationships to your relationships, are these fulfilling to your presentness? Are these fulfilling to a strived higher self? Do these lead you to something, or do they lead you to the more clarified version of yourself that you see? It takes so long. It took me 4 fucking weeks to be comfortable to even ask myself those questions. Not to investigate, just to ask, just to be like, hey sis, are you all right? Like, are we, what is our present situation? Because you have horse blinders on and you've had horse blinders on for however long. So I am also brought to, I've been rereading A Little Devil in America, which is Hanif Abdurraqib's new book that he released earlier this year. And he has a whole chapter about this act of vanishing and reappearing. And he goes through different examples of it. And one that really stuck to me was using like the prestige as in the movie and the actual magic trick, in an example of how one multiplies themselves over and over again while leaving behind traces of your real self just to fulfill a trick or just to fulfill a blank. Fulfill something that is expectant to you, expectant of you to continually show up and be the better version of yourself or be a specific image of yourself. And all the while you are suppressing or in some ways killing off true versions of yourself that didn't get to live to their fullest or even find means of an expression. And even to take it further, he later applies this to Black people's ability to live within multiplicities, and that we owe it to ourselves to not only acknowledge that we do live within multiplicities and those change and ebb and flow and present differently in each and every one of us and to ourselves, but also to find the courage to look at yourself or look at a community that you find yourself within and say, we still have biases or we still have specific things that trigger us into thinking that we can't be multiple. And that if you are not acting in the same way or if you are not presenting in the same way as everybody else or as you have always known yourself to be, then you are playing a trick on yourself and you're not, you know, you aren't really you or whatever. So that reflection and analysis of vanishing and reappearing, partnered with that question of where does the pain go when it goes away, have brought me to different realizations of where I have, I don't want to say let myself down because I think that's a little harsh, but where I have not allowed myself or have been too scared to allow myself to hold the multiple truths that I presently sit in. Regardless if I like them or not, it's still important that I sit with them. One of them being knowing that I have experienced a multitude of traumas, and within those traumas, I had needs that were not met, and I know that they will never be met. Partnered with the same truth that I fulfill my own needs and I have the power to fulfill my own needs as a present human. And that I have done so in many ways. But it's really hard to move on and let go of unfulfilled needs. There are different aspects of your ego that are triggered when you have, you know, needs as a child that were not met. And your higher self knows that you can provide those for yourself now, or that those needs aren't even relevant now, and that you have grown out of those. But there is a childlike ego that has a firm grasp on reality or your perception of reality. Another example of truths that are really difficult for me, and showed up in a very physical manifestation, is accepting that we are in a state of catastrophe environmentally. There's a lot of class struggle. There is a lot of global struggle to just make sure humanity fucking stays put together. There is a general chaos that is around. But also there is loving. There is gratitude. There is beauty. I really have a hard time holding both of those. And I know that sounds very childish to not be able to hold those together, but I can't. I have a very hard time doing that. But the physical manifestation of that was just seeing my dog. My dog, for all intents and purposes, is dying. And we're all technically dying, but he is diagnosed dying, capital D dying. He is in decay. And for a couple of weeks that was really hard to hold on to in my mind, and it was really wishy-washy for me, and I would be sobbing one day and I would be laughing my head off the next day, and it was really difficult for me to just wrap my head around. But I also then took that energy and looked upon myself, where it's, you know, not to beat a dead horse and just like keep reusing these like Instagram infographs, but like, you aren't your trauma. You are your trauma in the sense that you experienced it, and you take different wisdoms or responses or philosophies about life after them. And it's really hard to not see yourself as decaying all the time. And that sounds fucked up, but this is just truth hour. Especially when you are just starting some intensive healing work, it's really hard to not see yourself as decaying, or at least to not experience life as decaying. And if anyone ever came up to me after a therapy session or whatever and said, "Isn't the world beautiful? Doesn't it have so much stuff to offer? Isn't nature amazing? And aren't like people really cool? And aren't babies amazing?" I'd be like, "Fuck you. Don't talk to me. Everything is awful. You're terrible. You're ruining my day. Fuck you." That would be my response internally. It is really difficult to examine, for lack of a better word, for examining death within yourself, and the death of a lot of things that could have happened, the death of needs being fulfilled, the death of whatever picturesque version that you could have had, and mourning what you couldn't have. It's really difficult to say there is also beauty past that mourning. And I don't know if I'm really in a place to say like, yep, got it figured out. My life is amazing. I'm absolutely not going to say that. What I can say is that I feel comfortable asking myself, where were the needs that weren't met, and how do we let go? How do we transform the energy of pain into fulfillment for yourself? And I think the best part about being in this kind of in-betweeny like space is that you get to stretch and you get to reconfigure, or just like have fun in trying to figure out what fulfills you. There's a really great saying in Irish that is, it's a phrase that goes, that is describing like a safe place. And it's described as the place to go when your soles are sore. And soles as in like your feet. And I really love that expression. And I really feel like that is like this area that I'm inhabiting at this point. Is like, okay, I do not feel uncomfortable. I don't feel uneasy. I don't feel as nearly as anxious. And I don't feel that I am also falsely projecting who I am in this space. And there is a profound amount of freedom that exists within this area, but also is a place where you can look back at where you came from and see the places, or see the pieces of yourself that have been trailed behind, whether that be due to trying to keep yourself safe out of protection that you left behind a certain element of yourself, whether that had been fear of expressing yourself, whether that had been something that you just feel wasn't even important about yourself, that you are able to wait in this space and form a new connection to the things as they catch up to you, and as you are able to reveal yourself to them and create a very safe and welcoming part of yourself to reestablish those connections and to hold yourself in a very loving, compassionate, empathetic wholeness that you can then like restructure yourself within and be like, hey, now I am here in my totality. I can reestablish autonomy within this totality, and I am able to restore genuine connection to the things that are in my life and to the things that persistently show up in your life, like friendships, like family members, like whatever, hobbies or work or whatever. Things that you know you are connected to, but also know that you were hiding yourself from. And that's just where I'm finding myself. And it's weird because I've never been this comfortable in a space before. I think in general, I started this show as a kind of like a last grasp to get myself moving, in the sense of just like get my brain to continue moving, get my body to continue moving, getting my will to just be within the world to continue moving. And I, you know, I wasn't particularly clear in making this because I think I was partially trying to protect myself. Maybe I wasn't ready at the time or whatever, but I wasn't clear that the lens in which I am speaking through and seeing the world through, or at least attempting to, is this is a decolonized space. This is an anti-oppressive space. This is an all-affirming space of LGBTQ people. Obviously, I've had many a queers on this show. This is a space that affirms gender identities. This is a space that affirms the multiplicities that are cultures that I find myself surrounded with, and cultural expressions and identities and abilities to communicate. That is what this space is for. This media space is for. But even doing that, when I created it, I wasn't making that. I was not sitting in that space for myself. And now that I've invited myself into that and have included myself into that, I feel that I have been granted it feels very high and mighty to say like a clarity, but I have a specific clarity about what I want to accomplish here. What I want to accomplish even short term for my life, because it's still hard for me to, you know, this is another thing, trying to hold on to multiple truths. Knowing that I'm still struggling with mental health, and am still amidst a very intensive healing process, but also, you know, wanting to plan for a future, which is something that I've never wanted to do before, and nothing that I found interest in. I've never been interested in having a 5-year plan ever until now. Yeah, it's just a very interesting place. And so I'm almost, this episode is almost like a reintroduction to myself, or a reintroduction to the show, of that I have a specific clarity of how I want to direct my life now. And it is because of this 10-week break that I had, where I could finally rest my feet, where I could ask myself difficult questions of where I sit in my reality, and where, I don't know, just how that I may show up in my own communities to restore some relationships and be intentional with the connections that I make, and so that we may all feel emboldened to invite ourselves into this space and really experience what it means to be connected. That's something that I have lacked a lot in my life. Even in therapy, I've had some like homework, take home homework from my therapist of like, for starting EMDR, which is what I'm doing now, you kind of go through and make almost like a bullet point list from different age groups of your life or parts of your life. And you just list off negative experiences that have caused a trauma response or whatever. And as early as maybe four or five, my earliest memories are being alone and experiencing disconnect and knowing in my gut and knowing as a 5-year-old, this is incorrect or that at least I feel very othered and I feel different and I just feel disconnected. I've known that for so long and I thought, oh, it's cool to be an observer. It's cool to be on the outskirts or like whatever. Granted, like, sure, you can be a cool guy and be a fly on the wall, and that's great. I enjoy observing. But also, it's not my job to be disconnected. It's not what I have been called to do, to be disconnected. That's not what any of us have been called to do, be in an isolated state of disconnection. There's no chance in hell that was ever intended for anyone. But that's something that I've accepted for so long, and I have now reached a point and I have reached a level of clarity of that. Oh, I'm not accepting that anymore. I am not accepting loneliness. You can't escape an emotion of loneliness, but I refuse to accept it as something that is a sentence to me or something that I have been assigned to experience my entire life. And so this episode and this, my moves forward in this show, my moves forward in my life are to completely disrupt that pattern of disconnect, isolation, and loneliness that I have experienced so much in my life due to unfulfilled needs, due to, you know, assault, due to systemic racism, due to all of these body shaming, due to all of these things I have experienced and has created this monster of complex trauma. I am not repressing that because that's not going to do anything, but I am also not accepting what that has brought to my life anymore. And I hope that in this kind of very long stream of consciousness that has become clear and you kind of follow my thought process in this. Again, this is just my experience. This is not something that, you know, every single person is going to experience this. But I hope that you feel welcomed as a listener to join me in this space. I hope that I have been able to provide a better insight of just where I have been, how I am conducting my life at this moment, and, you know, how I'm trying to form a kind of digital community in this specific space, and trying to also manifest that physically and holding myself into account of radically going against a life that has formulated disconnection in my experiences. But yeah, I think that's all I have for everybody. I think that's it. That was a thank you for hanging on tight and listening to all of that. I will be back with more guests, some more decolonized thought processes, some more everything. I'll be back with more things soon, and thank you so much for listening. Again, if you want to rate or subscribe or follow to the podcast, you can do so. It'd be very helpful for me. Also, Patreon is available in the show notes below, as is Venmo or PayPal. If you are able to and feel led to financially support the show, all of those funds are going to be used for distribution costs, paying guests, and, you know, if there is some kind of carryover from that stuff, it'll be going into my pockets, which would be nice. But, you know, mainly just to cover those costs. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys next time.